Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. There are times in our lives where it is good to look back on things and try and learn from things that have happened before. So often people will get trapped in the past. They will see what has happened before and they'll cling to that instead of looking forward. There are people that I know from secondary school whose best days were in secondary school. That was their peak. That was their top. That was the best of their life because they had done seemingly so well then and they constantly held on to that. And they looked back at that. And they never move forward in their lives. That often happens with Christians as well. That happens in churches where we cling to the past. We cling to what has gone on before. It behooves us to look at the past, to learn from the past, learn from the successes, learn from the failures. It behooves us to learn from those things to be able to change what's going forward, so that we can become more mature. It is difficult and hard if we look at the past and we cling to it and say, well, it was always better then. It was always good then. We look at Jeremiah this morning in Lamentations. He never had a time like that. He never experienced a time in his life where he could look back and say, boy, I had it good then. Or this was exactly the way I wanted it to be. No, he came to the end of his life and he could look back and he could write a book called Lamentations, where he is lamenting what has gone on before. He is looking back upon those things. And if it were you and I, or at least I should just speak for myself, if it was me, I would look back on those tribulations and I would lament, and it would be difficult to see the hand of God. It would be difficult to see the hand of God blessing me through those things, because the things that he went through were so difficult. And yet, that's not how Jeremiah viewed things. That's not how the weeping prophet saw his life. He saw it differently. And hopefully, this looking at this today will be an encouragement to us that, yes, there's times where we go through hardships. Whether they are hardships that are caused by other people, whether they are hardships caused by the failings of our body, whether they are hardships caused by our own mistakes. We all go through difficulties. We all go through tribulations. But the key, as Jeremiah will teach us, is to look at them from the viewpoint of God instead of the viewpoint of man. And we look and we see God's mercies and God's grace to us in the midst of those things, even while those things are going on. And so that propels us forward to praise the Lord and to learn from those things and to act differently when presented with other problems. So we look at Jeremiah first. We have to have some background to understand why he's called the weeping prophet, to why this book is called Lamentations. Jeremiah was called, if you look in the beginning of the book of Jeremiah, you see that Jeremiah was called to be a prophet when he was still a youth. We don't know exactly how old he was. Most, at least that I've seen, will say that he was probably not quite a teenager when he was called to be a prophet. That he was just a little older than my oldest son. He may have been 10, 11, maybe 12 years old. He wasn't yet a man in the Jewish tradition. And he was called to be a prophet. Now the difficulty for Jeremiah is that he was called to be a prophet to a people that Jeremiah was told were not going to listen. They're not going to hear what you have to say. You're going to preach to them. You're going to tell them what God says. And they are not going to hear you. They are not going to listen to you. They're going to turn and do the exact opposite. Sometimes I feel like with my children that that takes place, where I'm saying, do this, and the first things out of their mouth is the exact opposite. But that's growing up. That's learning. That's what children have to do. They have to learn the good and the bad, the right and the wrong. Well, the people of Jerusalem and the people of Judah, they had gone past that already. They were at the point where they were choosing wrong continually. And so Jeremiah is preaching to them. He is telling them what God says, and he does this for 40 years. He preaches to them for 40 years. Almost all of Jeremiah's life, he is conscious of the fact that God is giving him things to say when people are not going to listen. You know, how many of us have memories from when we were 9 years old or 8 years old? Now, my children do because they're still that age. But how many of us can remember back to when we were children? Well, Jeremiah's life, think about it, when he is towards the end of his life, here he is in the Book of Lamentations, and he looks back upon his life, all he remembers is being a prophet, is preaching for the Lord, is the people not listening. And then the things that he had to tell the people. Because of the people's sin, God told them, he told them way back with Moses, that if they did not follow him, he would do certain things. He would remove them from the land. Well, Jeremiah has to come to the people. He has to come to the king. And he has to tell them that they are going to be carried into exile. That Judah will be destroyed. That Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem, will be knocked down. That the temple of God, the temple that Solomon built that was so glorious that people from the entire world were coming to see it, there wasn't going to be one stone left upon another. He had to say this to them. The reactions, as you can imagine, were not good. The people didn't believe him. In fact, they were so strongly set against Jeremiah that they frequently wanted to kill him. At one point, the king takes Jeremiah and throws him into a deep pit where he's hoping that Jeremiah is going to die because he's not going to be fed. And he can sit back and say, well, I just put him in prison. I was just punishing him, but he died during that time because he knew the people would cry out if they actually killed him. Well, someone came and fed Jeremiah by lowering food down on a rope until after many, many days, Jeremiah was eventually released. This is the thing, this is the life that Jeremiah was leading. This is the life that he was in existence. He's telling all of the priests, he's telling the Levites, he's telling the king that God has judged them. That God has judged them and judged them harshly. That Nebuchadnezzar is going to come. The Babylonians are going to come and they're going to destroy Judah. They're going to knock down the walls, they're going to knock down the temple, and they're going to carry the best of the people out of the land. And then, not only does he have to say this for years, he has to see this. He has to live through it. The difficulties that take place in the city, when Nebuchadnezzar comes and he's already destroyed the rest of Judah, and he surrounds Jerusalem. And the siege of Jerusalem is not a couple of days. I believe it lasts for a year and a half. Where the city is surrounded, and they have no food. No food is coming in, and so they eat less and less every day, trying to make it last. And Jeremiah sees this. Jeremiah experiences this. To the point towards the end of the siege, he sees when women who have had children are now eating their young because of the starvation that is going on. And he experiences all of this, and you can understand why he's called the weeping prophet. You can understand why he looks around him and he doesn't see positives. He doesn't see blessings. I'm going to read verses 1 through 20 of Lamentations chapter 3. And I want you to think of Jeremiah after he has seen all of these things. He's seen Jerusalem destroyed now. He has seen what people did to one another. He has seen the depravity of man. And he is left in Judah. He's left in the territory by Nebuchadnezzar. His life has been saved. He hasn't been carried off as Daniel and his three friends have. He hasn't been carried off as Ezekiel has. He's left with the remnant of the people. Listen to what he says. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. Imagine how it felt not to eat for so long, knowing that he's not going to do what the others did. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. And think about it being in that pit, waiting to die. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people, and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. You know, sometimes, most of the times, we always look at Job. And people will say the patience of Job or the perseverance of Job and all of the struggles that Job went through and all of the difficulties that he experienced. Sometimes I wonder if Jeremiah hasn't experienced worse tribulation, worse difficulties. To see the things that he saw, to experience what he experienced, to know what he knew, that if the people had turned about, had come to God in repentance and faith, destruction would not have come. And he tells them this over and over, and it's like speaking to a brick wall. They just don't listen. And he goes through these things, and you hear his cry. And you think about the difficulties that he went through, these recollections that he had. It makes me feel like the things that I've gone through in my life are nothing. Like I've had it easy. That there hasn't been much. I don't want you to feel like I am minimizing anything that any of us have gone through. But yet, you look at Jeremiah and you see what he has experienced. The difficulties, to the fact that he goes with the remnant of the people, and after just a few years they rebel against the authority that's been placed over them by Nebuchadnezzar, and they carry him into Egypt. Even though he's constantly saying, don't do this thing. We'll live in peace here under the king Nebuchadnezzar if you just stay. But instead, the people don't listen. And they carry him with them into Egypt. And that's where Jeremiah dies, in Egypt. All of these things are happening to him. And yet, we look at verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. He's not recalling to mind all of the tribulations. He's recalling to mind the following verses. Verses 22 through 24. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. That's an amazing statement from a man that's gone through so much. From a man that's experienced so many difficulties. So many of the difficulties we experience today seem to be from our own hand. Yet that's not the case for Jeremiah. And yet here he realizes that if he had gotten what he deserved, he'd be consumed. It would have been worse. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. If we got what we deserved, we wouldn't be sitting here today. Our lives would be forfeit. And yet it is of the Lord's mercies. Why? Because his compassions fail not. They don't go away. You know, that's the thing that so many today, so many people that would call themselves Christians, that would believe that your salvation, you can lose it. That one day you can be saved and another day you can't be saved. No, God's compassions fail not. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. It's not based upon what I do. It's based upon what He does. The arm of the Lord has not grown weak. His hand is not any weaker today than it was any other day. He's all powerful. If He saves, He saves to the utmost. His compassions fail not. Not only do they not fail, they are new every morning. They are new every morning. You think about what Jeremiah is going through and the fact that he could say this. That his compassions, his mercies are new every morning. Every single time that he wakes up, he sees a blessing from God. He starts that new day off and he says, "The Lord has had his hand upon me and I'm grateful. He's given me breath today. He's given me the ability to look to him today. The sun has risen. The rains have come. There is a blessing no matter where what it looks like. It's a blessing from God. It's a promise that he's given us. Romans 8:28, "For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." That's exactly what Jeremiah is saying. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. No matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, God, if you are a Christian, God is going to be working that circumstance for your benefit. What a blessing. What a blessing to see the mind of a man who recognizes God's hand in his life. So that when he's saying this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, it's an interesting thing when you hear so many people talk about healings. I've had some conversations recently with some different folks, and they say, "Well, you know, I'm just not sure about people being able to heal someone." And I said, "I'm pretty sure about that." Because all of those supposed healers base it off the faithfulness or the faith of the person that wants to be healed. But what is anything based upon according to the Scriptures? It's not based upon my faithfulness. It's based upon God's faithfulness. It's based upon God's mercies, based upon God's compassions, not based on me. If God wants to heal someone, he can heal someone. But he's not going to be giving that power to a man who's going to flit it away. There was a purpose for healings in the Bible. There was purposes for healings in the New Testament to prove God's word was true. We know God's word is true because his compassions fail not. Great is his faithfulness. Great is who he is. You know, I've had headaches for years upon years. And I constantly apologize to my family for my attitude when I have one of those headaches. Because I'm sure I do not act appropriately. But God is faithful. God is blessing. God is working even amidst those things. Maybe he's teaching my family things about patience. He's certainly teaching me many things about his power, about who he is. He is faithful in the midst of adversity. That's how we learn who God is. That's how we learn to have faith. If everything went well and smooth in our lives, then what is faith? There is no faith. Because there's no trust. There's no need. There's no dependence. Jesus said he is the great physician. He came to the sick. The well don't need a physician, do they? The sick need a physician. The more tribulation we have, the greater our faith needs to be. The more we need to walk with him. Jeremiah saw that. Jeremiah looked at his life and he saw all the difficulties, but he said in verse 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope, that the Lord's compassions fail not. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness." And he made a resolve. You look at verse 25. Let's finish before that, verse 24. "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him." When you look back on your life, when you look back and you see what the Lord has done in the midst of adversity, in the midst of difficulties, you have to cry out that the Lord is your portion. And then you sort of say, "Well, I'm going to have hope in the future Not that everything is going to go smoothly, but the Lord is going to care for me. The Lord is going to take care of me. That there are times where He may remove the storm out of my life. There are other times He's going to take me through the storm. But that regardless, He is going to be with me. And He is going to comfort me. He is going to help me. And because of this, you can resolve to look to Him. You can resolve to walk with Him. The Lord is your portion. Hope in Him. You look at verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. That sounds very reminiscent to me of Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to them that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. God has His own timing. We don't know what it is. We don't know the things of God from His perspective at all. We have His revealed word, and so we need to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord to deliver. Wait upon the Lord to comfort, because His mercies never fail. His compassion is great. And that should humble us. That should humble us in the sense that we don't have the power. We don't have the strength to do the things we'd like to do. But God does. God can accomplish great things. And you think about this. It is a good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. That sounds very strange to modern ears. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. These things sound very much to me very, very similar to the Sermon on the Mount. Look at the Beatitudes. Look at the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And see how similar it is to bearing the yoke in the youth. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's bearing the yoke. That's going through adversity. That's being humbled by who God is. That's being humbled by our sinfulness. That's being humbled by looking back and seeing the difficulties and the travails and the mistakes that we have made, and looking to God because He's merciful. And looking to God because He's faithful. And looking to God because He's compassionate. And that gives us hope for the future. That gives us hope to say, the Lord is my portion. That gives us hope to walk along. That gives us hope to be able to turn the other cheek. And you notice that there in verse 30, He giveth His cheek to him that smiteth him. Again, Jesus, when He was preaching to us, when He was preaching to those around Him, He wasn't preaching brand new things. He was preaching the Old Testament. He was preaching the Scriptures. But people didn't understand it in that way before. He was preaching with authority. And He was explaining things because they didn't understand what was being said. So He says, turn the other cheek. Well, that's Jeremiah. Why? Because the Lord will not cast off forever. The Lord will not cast off forever. But though He cause grief, yet will He have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies. For He doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. He doesn't do this out of some perverse idea of pleasure to make us go through pain and difficulties. No, He does this for our benefit, that we will grow and mature in faith in Him. that will become more complete, that will be able to follow Him in the Spirit and not in the flesh. He burns away those things that are impure through the refiner's fire. Elijah. He burns away the things that are impure through the refiner's fire so that only what is left is pure. That's tribulation. That's trial. That's difficulty. And we walk with Him and we look to Him. Because the Lord will not cast off forever. You know, He may cast off the entire life. That's what Jeremiah experienced. Here is Jeremiah, the Lord comes to him when he's a youth, when he's but a boy, and He says, you're going to be a prophet for me. You're going to walk after me. You're going to speak forth my word. But here's the catch. They're not going to listen. They're not going to be kind to you. You're going to be a derision to them. They're going to mock you. They're going to beat you. They're going to try and kill you. They're going to treat you worse than you can imagine. You're going to see things that people don't want to even speak. That's going to be your life. And at no time in Jeremiah's life was there a reprieve from that. From that point forward, for 40 years, he sees all of these things. He experiences all of these things, and yet he says the Lord will not cast off forever. What was Jeremiah looking for? What was Jeremiah looking towards? Was he looking towards the destruction of Jerusalem? And say, well, when that's done, then the people are going to listen to what the Lord has to say. No, he wasn't. He was looking to the Lord. He was looking to the Lord and saying, I'm going to be with Him one day. I may experience the awful things in this life, and He may give me some reprieve in this life. He may not. But I know that one day I will leave this body, and I will be with Him. And then there will be no more derision. There will be no more mocking. There will be no more pain. There will be no more tears. There will be no more lamenting. All of those things will be passed away. And I'll be able to see Him clearly. Stop. If you are a Christian and you are bowed down under a load of tribulation, under a load of difficulties, whether they are things that other people are doing, whether it's your physical body, whether it is things that have happened because of your own foolishness, look to the Lord. His compassions fail not. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. That's what we trust in. We don't trust in our faith. We trust in Him. We trust in His Word. We trust in His Son. Learn from the past. Use it as a spiritual education. And then walk forward. Look forward. Look to what He is going to do one day. Live in light of the promises that He's made. Isaiah. If you do not know God, if you do not know His faithfulness, if you do not know the free pardon of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, and you've listened to this, you think Christians are silly. How can they go through those things with joy? How can they experience the death of a loved one and still look to the Lord? How can they experience pain in their bodies that doesn't relent and say, praise the Lord? How can they look back on things that are horrible and say, I'm thankful to the Lord that that was in my life? Because it taught me about Him. It taught me to trust Him. You don't understand that because you don't know Him. But yet God has been faithful to you. He has been merciful to you. The sun has risen on your life. Rain has come down. You've had food. You've had shelter. You've had clothing. God has blessed you, whether you want to admit it or not. He's blessed you more than you deserve. Just as He's blessed me more than I deserve. Do you look at your life? Do you look at your past and say, God is there? It's something that you ought to learn from. It's something that ought to point you to Jesus Christ. Because you see your own weakness. You see your own inability. You see your own incapableness to do anything. You try your hand at something and it fails. It ought to teach you that there is a greater power than you. It ought to teach you that there is only one way to heaven. That there is only one way to salvation. And that you're not capable of it. It ought to teach you to look to Jesus Christ. It ought to teach you to turn to Him in faith. That's what these things ought to teach us. So that we would then say with Jeremiah, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. Can you say that the Lord is your portion? Can you hope in Him? It is only through Jesus Christ that you can say that. And so we point you to Him. Amen.